Well, today Randy and I want to take a little time and talk about faith. It's a word that we hear often here in the church. And yet, when it comes to living a life of faith, how does that work? What does it look like? What does it do in our lives? And how do you know the difference between someone who is living a life of faith and maybe someone who is not? Well, we talked about that a little bit, and today we want to take a swing at helping to give you maybe a simple and clear picture of what faith is all about and what that looks like. We talked about a possible definition for that, and there are many of them. If you look them up, there's tons in the dictionary and many writings that are out there. But any definition that we could come up with would just be another one that would be piled on top of many, many before ours. And so we felt it was important to go back to where we find the true definition of faith, which is in God's Word, in the Bible. And so today we want to take a little time and look at a couple of verses from Proverbs chapter 3. If you're looking that up in your Bible, we'll be reading from chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. For a lot of people, there are some of their very favorite scriptures in all the Bible. And our class that Randy, I, and Sam Barr teach on Sunday mornings, the Life Track Discipleship class, this is one of the memory verses that our class has been working on. So last week, I was teasing them, saying, we're going to make you all stand up and say it with us when we do our sermon this week. Won't do that, but you're welcome to say it out loud if you know it with us. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We're going to walk through these simple verses together today.
I know some of you like to journal or outline or take notes on the message, and these two verses can be broke down very easily into four subtopics, and that's what we want to look at individually. And actually, Life Track class, this is the memory verse for next week, and so you're getting a head start on it, I guess. The first part of the first verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does it mean to trust? Anytime you trust, it involves a four-letter word. And maybe some of you are thinking of the word love, and we did. And I think with trust, love is certainly a part of that, but that's not the word that we want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. The word that we're thinking of is the word risk. And for those taking notes, faith is risking. It's risking. You have to risk to be involved with this journey called life. Would you agree with me on that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Ecclesiastes 10:8. When you dig a well, be careful. You may fall in it. Whenever you demolish an old wall, you could be bitten by a snake. There's some reality there, isn't there? Yeah. Whatever you do in life, whatever you work at, whatever this journey is that you're on, there's a risk involved. But the greatest risk of all is the risk that involves relationship. And when you think about that sphere of relationship, the greatest risk is involved when we enter into a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That, my friends, takes faith. In fact, that takes pure faith. Mark 12:30. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength. The greatest risk or adventure that you will ever take in life is the risk that you take when you enter into a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And if you try to play it safe and choose not to enter into that relationship, then there is so much of life that you're missing. Matthew 16:25, if you try to keep your life to yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. We want to suggest to you this morning that the reality is, if you're willing to take that risk of faith, then you will find in reality everything that you're looking for in life. And truly, faith is risking. It's kind of like the guy that walks up to a cliff and he's standing there looking out over, and all of a sudden the rocks that he's standing on, they give way and he falls. And as he's falling, he reaches out and he grabs a hold of a limb and he's holding on for dear life. And finally he looks up and he yells, "Is there anybody up there?" And a booming voice comes down and says, "I'm here. I am the Lord. Do you have faith in me?" And the man yells, "Yes, my goodness, I have faith in you. I believe in you. But I'm just about ready to lose my grip." And the voice answers him and says, "If you have faith in me and you believe in me, then you know that I will take care of you. Let go of the limb." Well, there's silence for a little while, and then the guy looks up and he screams, "Is there anybody else up there?" I mean, isn't that how it is sometimes? You know, you've fallen over the cliff, you're hanging there on a limb, and you're trying to be in control of the situation. It's like the house that caught on fire, and the little boy had to climb on the roof, and it's dark out and the smoke is billowing. There's flames coming out of the windows and his daddy's down below with his arms out. And he says, "Jump, son, I'll catch you. Jump." And he knows that it's the only way his little boy can survive is to jump. And he's encouraging with all of his might. And finally the little boy says, "Daddy, I can't see you." And his father said, "It doesn't matter, son. I can see you." That's a pretty good picture of what faith is in reality. God actually tells us at times in life to let go of the branch that we've been holding on to for far too long. Sometimes we need to take the leap off the roof and realize beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's loving arms are there to catch us. And it's a difficult thing for us to do. Some people call faith a leap into the dark. And I guess in a sense it is, but I like to refer to it as a step into the light. The light of Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
The second part is to lean not on your own understanding. Faith is relying. An author that I've been reading quite a bit of lately, and I've been using her materials in our cancer support group, is Lynn Ibe. She tells the story of a time a few years ago when she and her husband set off for an adventure, a boating adventure, with her boss, Mark, and his wife. Now, Mark and his wife were seasoned boaters. They were out often on their boat, but Lynn and her husband didn't go very often. This particular weekend, they were going to go out on the Chesapeake Bay for a couple-hour ride, nothing big, but the weather looked kind of bad that day. And so Mark's wife checked with someone and checked on the weather out on the bay, and they said, "Oh, it's clear, it's going to be fine, come on out." So they all boarded, the four of them boarded the boat, and they set out. There were white caps already on the water when they left, and it didn't take long at all until those white caps turned into 2-foot waves and then 5-foot waves that were just splashing over the boat and drenching them, making it almost impossible for Mark, who was trying to navigate the boat through this terrible storm. So Mark's wife and Lynn's husband pulled out the navigational charts so that they could try to read those and look for marked buoys so that they could stay out of the lanes that the big ships traveled in. They were too far away from home to turn back, and yet they seemed so far from their destination. In the midst of this terrible storm, Mark announced to the other three people on the boat, "You know what? Our compass says that we're going in exactly the wrong direction. It says we're going south instead of north, and we want to be going north." They all looked at each other with puzzled looks, and they said, "No, we're going the right way. We know we're going north. We'd have known if the boat got turned around in any way." Well, it took Mark just a minute, and he said, "I'm sorry, but I'm going to follow the compass." And he turned that boat 180 degrees around, went in the other direction. A few minutes after that, they started seeing the numbered buoys that told them, indeed, they had been going in exactly the opposite direction that they needed to go. Now they were on the right track. The storm that raged around them had distorted reality for them. How about you and I? The storms that we go through in life, do they distort reality for us? I think they do. I think we lose that sense of direction. That's why we need the Lord. We need Him to be our compass. He never fails us. He never sends us in the wrong direction. When we're struggling, when we're going through troubles and trials, we need to be looking to Him because He is that rock. He is that firm foundation, that compass that we need to give us the right direction. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever." Just like Mark, when he captained that boat, had a decision to make. He could listen to what he thought was right and his three friends that were there with him that day and keep on going, and they were going in exactly the wrong direction, or he could do what he felt that compass was telling him to do and turn it around. We have that kind of decision to make. Are we going to rely on what we think is right, or are we going to trust God and what He says is right? You know, when it comes right down to it, God is a whole lot smarter than any of us. And He knows it all. He sees it all. And He has a plan for us. We can rely on Him. We can know that He is going to do what is best for us. He loves us. He has a heart for each and every one of us. He created us. And so maybe sometimes things don't go the way we expect them to. God doesn't answer a situation or a problem or a question in the way that we think He should. But we go back to that passage that reminds us He is the compass. He knows where we need to be going. And so He has a good plan for us. We just need to believe in that and trust in that and say, His will, not my will. God has a way of working in our life. We just need to turn it over to Him and rely on Him.
Amen. As we continue working through these two incredible passages of Scripture, if you're outlining point number three, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, if I were to walk into a room, maybe even this morning, if I would walk in here, some of you might wave to me that recognized me. That's how you are acquainted with me. That's how you actually recognize me. Now, let's say a dignitary walked in here that was just so special, we might applaud and stand when he walked in. How do we acknowledge God once we invite Him into our heart of hearts, our soul, the innermost being of us? How do we acknowledge Him? You acknowledge Him by obeying Him, by obedience. And we do that because He's our maker. He's actually the creator of this entire universe. The Bible calls Him Lord of Lords. When you begin to obey God, that's when your life takes on the joy of the Lord. And we initiate that obedience by acts in our life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And the last part of that verse says, and I will make your path straight. I will make your path straight. What does that mean? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean, folks. It doesn't mean a life without problems. It doesn't mean a life that is without difficulties in it. It means a life that works, though. It means a life getting from point A to B to C, God's way, not our way. He'll make your life work. He doesn't say that you'll be healthy or wealthy. He doesn't say that you'll be the best looking person on the earth. But he does say he'll be there to catch you in those times when you desperately need him. And he'll bless your life unbelievably with things that we can't even imagine. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who trust in him. Whenever we come to that moment of trust, whenever we come to that moment where we're willing to risk it and invite him into our heart, to experience that salvation experience, there's something that each and every one of us deal with. I've dealt with it. And that is the fact that we begin to think about, what will I have to give up if I take this risk of faith with God? And there will be some things that through God's Holy Spirit that he may point out in your life that you'll have to deal with, but he'll give you the power to do that. But I'd like to reverse that for just a moment. What are you willing to give up if you don't take that risk of faith? If you don't risk it, what security, what love from God are you willing to forsake? Are you willing to walk away from? If you don't trust God, what peace, what joy are you willing to just walk by? If you don't take that risk of faith, there are some pretty incredible things that you're making the decision to do without in this journey called life. Expecting God to act. When we take that risk of faith, we're actually expecting him to act in our lives. And he will.
Psalm 42, verse 11 says, why am I discouraged? Why so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. So how do I experience his faithfulness? How do I expect God to act in my life on my behalf? Here's some suggestions. One day at a time, 1 hour at a time, one problem at a time, one situation at a time. Taking the next step, trusting him, expecting him to act. Maybe you just need to trust him for that situation with your business or your job. Maybe you need to trust him with your marriage that's having struggles right now. Maybe you need to trust him with your health situation that you're dealing with. Maybe you need to trust him with your kids. Maybe you need to trust him with that next big decision that you're trying to make. Faith, as Randy said, is not a leap into the dark. It's a step into the light, but it's God's light. He shows the way. It can be scary. I get that. It can be very scary relying on him and trusting him because we want to take control. But even in that anxiety, even in that scared feeling that we sometimes have. There's also that expectation of how is God going to move in this situation? What is he going to do? Because we know he shows up, don't we? He always shows up. I read a story a while back about a guy. His name is Lloyd Scott. He was a runner in the London Marathon. Out of over 32,000 runners, he finished last. There was a 90-year-old grandmother who beat him in this marathon. So he was slow, very slow. But here's the reason he was so slow. This guy ran the entire marathon encased in a 130-pound deep-sea diving suit from the 1940s. You get that picture? The big copper helmet, the big leaded boots, the weight around his neck. This guy wore that suit the whole entire marathon. He had 16 people helping him through the marathon because he would fall down and he couldn't get back up. They had to help him back up and get him started again. It took him 5 days, 8 hours, 29 minutes, and 46 seconds to finish the race. Can you imagine that? All that while he had on a 130-pound diving suit. He did set a world record for the slowest marathon ever completed. But he didn't do it to win a record. He did it because he had been a cancer survivor. So he was out there raising money for cancer patients, and he wanted them to see that someone really cared. This is what he said. Somebody's going to be diagnosed with cancer, with leukemia today, and will think, if this nutty guy can do a marathon in a diving suit, then there's hope for me. Someone cares enough about me to run a marathon in a diving suit. So how do you know that God cares about you? How do you expect God to work in your life? Well, he didn't put on that diving suit, but let me tell you some of the things that he did do for you. He put on human flesh. He came to this earth in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. Amen. And he did that to say, I love you. I care about you. I am with you. And that he has a plan for your life. He didn't raise any money, but he did raise himself from the dead. He went to that cross. He paid a supreme sacrifice for us because of his great love for us. And it's because of that that he wanted us to know, I am here for you. I will work in your life. You can trust me. You can rely on me. He did that in the clearest way he possibly could to show us how much he loved us and that we can have faith in him. That's why Jesus came to earth. So I ask you today, what day, what problem, what situation, what's your next step of faith, your next big step of faith? What is it that you're willing to risk to trust God with it, to see how he moves in the midst of that anxiousness? There's great expectation because God will move. He will show up. He won't let you down. You can trust in him. As the worship team comes up, I want to share with you Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 once again. But this is from the Message. I love how it says it. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. I invite you today to consider, what is it that you need to trust God for? Are you willing to lay it down at his feet and just give it over to him and say, God, I give this problem, I give this day, I give this situation, I give this relationship, I give these worries over to you because I know that I can rely on you. I can trust you because of your great love for me. As we sing, and I had asked you to stand, if you want to come and pray about it, the altars are open. There are many of us here who would be glad to pray with you. But trust God today. Let's stand.